to come up and speak to us this morning. And let me just pray for you.
Great, thanks.
Lord Jesus, I just want to pray for Andy.
Lord,
we just pray that he'll speak right into our hearts, Lord, as you've prepared us through that time of worship to receive. Lord, may his words just go with an anointing from your throne direct into our lives. In your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Al. Morning, everyone. And I have to say, I feel privileged this morning. I feel privileged to be able to speak to you all as we start a new academic year, as it were. And I believe that God is going to speak directly to us at the start of this new academic year. I feel privileged to welcome the two guys who are coming as interns to join with us this morning. It's exciting to look forward to all that God's going to do in you and through you as we look to the year ahead. I feel incredibly privileged. This is not for us just to have Naomi up sharing. It's not just to go, oh, that's good to hear. That's the privilege we have of sending someone into a totally different context, which has always been our passion. And Naomi, I can't quite see where you are. You're there. Yeah, it's been a privilege to have you amongst us over the last 2 years. And you going to South Africa is part of a fulfillment of the vision that we have of being that aircraft carrier that many of you have heard me talk about. We don't just suck in, we send out to the nation and the nations. And it's exciting to be able to get behind Naomi and to be able to send her to South Africa. And I trust that we'll carry her in our hearts and prayers in an ongoing way. I have to say as well that this weekend it has been a privilege to sit with the Huff family and with Penny. And, you know, at those very tender moments and to see them expressing their appreciation to her and, as it were, letting her go. And not just to her, for the time they've had together as family, but expressing their appreciation to Jesus for the hope they have at this time. And what you caught, Dave Rolls and I were with them late last night, and what you caught was an incredible gratitude for who Jesus is. And that at a time like this, more than ever, they were grateful for Jesus. And they were grateful that, I mean, Steve expressed this, that 26 years ago, someone took the time to invite Penny to a mums and toddlers group here. And that's where she connected with the church. That's a point where her faith came more alive. And they look back at a time like this, more grateful than ever for someone who took the time to say, why don't you go to the mums and toddlers group? It'll be great. It underlines to me more than ever the responsibility we have. And you're going to hear over the coming weeks and months as we look forward in this new academic year, if there's anything that we feel as a leadership team, an imperative from the Lord, a mandate from the Lord, is that we get hold of this responsibility to share his love and life with others, that we don't keep that to ourselves. And whatever else has gone on in us and through us and whatever else is going on around us, we must not lose that. And I guess, if anything, we would say as a team, our concern is that that's not been as front and central as God would want it to be for us. And so we're trying to think how that can be the case. And we're very, very keen that as we look forward this academic year, we've always wanted to fill Alpha as much as we possibly can. We probably feel that imperative more than ever because it's such an amazing opportunity for people to discover the love and life of Jesus. And Alpha is going to be starting in October. And in the lead up to that, we have a special event, which you'll see in your news sheet, with Mark Ritchie coming, performing his show that he did at The Fringe. We've done that because we wanted to do an event that we felt could be like almost an easy invite for anyone, just a good night out. We're going to do it as a fundraiser because sometimes people feel more comfortable about coming and actually partaking. And he's just going to give us a night of comedy. It's going to be a pie supper and a night of comedy together. But his show, it's called For the Love of God. It's not going to be, you know, the deep message of the gospel, but it should end up leaving people thinking, do I want to find out more about this? And I want to encourage everyone. I wonder if there will be people in 26 years' time or in however many years' time who'll go, I'm so grateful that someone took time to invite me to my first point of listening to think about the message of Jesus Christ. And we don't want to put on events for the sake of it. We want to think about how we can most effectively share Jesus. And we hope this would be something that anyone and everyone can think about being part of and coming to and inviting others to. And tickets will be available from next week, but you might want to be asking people in advance, getting it in people's diaries. Let's make this an amazing event where we bring masses of people to it and take the opportunity. And I hope that many people then go, oh, I would like to do Alpha. It's a good thing to think about, isn't it? So just wanted to flag that. I'm concluding this morning our series in Proverbs. I'm going to be speaking out of Proverbs 4, verse 23. And I guess as we start this new academic year, we're going to look at something that is of paramount importance for every single one of us, if we're going to be the people of God that God wants us to be. This is not just a message for a few people. This is something that's of absolute paramount importance for everyone sitting in this room today. Proverbs, as we've already seen, teaches all sorts of fantastic godly wisdom and principles for life and for living. But King Solomon says that what matters most is the heart. Proverbs 4, verse 23 is our scripture. Above all else, above all else, and all the other stuff we've talked about, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. And if I could, from the youngest to the oldest, I'd want to look round at everyone and catch you in the eye this morning. Say, your heart matters. You don't guard something that's not valuable. Every week we put our rubbish bins out on the front road. And anyone, if they wanted, could walk past and take them. Take the stuff inside them, everything. Why? Because it's not valuable to us, not important. There's a lot of stuff we wouldn't put out on the front road overnight for people to grab. Our hearts are really valuable and really need guarding. Our hearts are not rubbish. What is our heart? Our heart is the essence of who, your heart is the essence of who you are. It's really your authentic self, the core of your being. It's where all your dreams, all your desires, all your passions live. It's the part of you that connects with God. And it's the part of you that connects at a deeper level with other people. And I think it's really significant that we talk about this morning, because it goes on to say that why is it so important that we guard our heart? Because it's the wellspring of life. We've been entrusted with his life. We're carriers of his life. What will block that wellspring up? What will stop that spring of water, living water flowing? It will be our hearts going hard or cold. And my prayer is, I mean, I love the name of our church, Life Church Manchester. But no good to be something by name, but not by nature. And as we set out in this year and we say, we want to be sharing the life of Jesus with others, where's the best place to start? It's the best place to start. And I believe it's not by accident we've landed here on this first Sunday, this new academic year, to say, where are our hearts at? Are we guarding our hearts? And are we guarding the heart of the church that life might be flowing all the time? Often in the space of a week, I don't know whether you've noticed this, but in the space of a week, a few days, you can observe people's whole conversation and appearance changing. I've sometimes chatted to someone one week and it's like, oh, they're full of life. And you hear it in their conversation, the way they look. You look them in the eye and their eyes sparkle. Sometimes it's been a few days later. I've talked to them again. And there's nothing in their eyes. And the way they're speaking is totally different. And you go, what's happened? Well, it's very simple. I'll tell you what's happened. Something's gone on in the heart. Because Jesus said, out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks. Sometimes it's because people have got offended. Someone said something to you, someone's done something, someone's let you down. You got offended. An offense has affected your heart. You've not dealt with it. Sometimes it's because of unconfessed sin. Having had a heart that was just alive to God and wanting to do whatever he wanted, you go, nope, I'm going to do my thing. And when you sense the conviction of the Spirit and the challenge, you resist. You don't confess, you let it remain. Sometimes it's just because of weariness. Sometimes it's because we don't want to hear. God's beginning to speak to us. We're not beginning to listen. Sometimes it's because of failure. And we do all fail. But if we want, we can wallow in that failure, or we can let him pick us up. Sometimes it's because of disappointment. Things haven't worked out as we hoped they would. And sometimes it's because of pride. That we've got more caught up with what we look like before man than what we being right before God and our hearts being right before God. And how do I know all this? I know it because I've been on this journey so many times, and I wish I could stand here and say my heart has always stayed totally tender and soft to the Lord and never become hard, and I've always guarded it in such a way that nothing's ever been able to creep in. And this morning I can't, I'm afraid. I've made all sorts of mistakes at different times, and I've allowed stuff to affect my heart at different times, and then the life has not flowed in the way that it could. I've been in full-time ministry now for 26 years, which is an amazing privilege. And some of you know that in April this year, April, May, June, I'm going to be taking a sabbatical, which again is a fantastic privilege. There's a few things I felt God speak to me about that. One of the things was that after 26, it was almost like it was half time, and it was time to take stock, as it were. And I quite like that sense of half time. I thought, yeah, well, plenty of years still to go. That's good. But I felt like God spoke to me very clearly. But it's not about, you know, a team as if they were winning 2-0 and the manager saying, all right, just hold on to what you have now. That's not how I should be posturing myself. That as I go on sabbatical and have this privilege of 3 months to allow God to do something new and give me fresh perspective, etc., etc., it was to posture myself for multiplication, not for holding on to what we have. And so that's this thing that I'm carrying very clearly as I go into the sabbatical. But the other thing that, as I was beginning to think, so what do I want to learn? What do I want to take hold of? God brought me back very clearly that more than anything, what matters? If I look back over my first 26 years of full-time ministry, what matters more than anything else is all the time. The thing that's been most significant has been where my heart's at. I can learn keys for this and principles for that. But the biggest thing is where my heart's at. Too often, at certain times, I've allowed offense to come in. I think for me in particular, if I'm not careful, I can get caught up with what people think rather than what the Lord thinks. And at certain times, I look back and I realize disappointment at things not quite working out as I hoped they would, or people not quite responding as I hoped they would, has affected my heart. But we're called to guard our hearts and to take responsibility for that. And the writer to the Hebrews makes it very clear it's our responsibilities. He says in Hebrews 3, verse 12 and 13, see to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. He puts the responsibility at our door. But encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. And I think there's just a few clues there that he gives us in terms of how we guard our hearts. And five things to mention very simply and quickly. Choose to encourage one another daily. I need you and you need me. That's the truth. If I get isolated from the life of Christ that flows through his body, my heart will be vulnerable. When Paul wrote to Philemon, he said, "You, brother," Philemon 7, "have refreshed the hearts of the saints." Isn't that a great thing to have said about you? I'd love people to say that about me. If you'd like to, feel free. But I just think I want to be someone who refreshes people's hearts, who does people good. And there are lots of people I've spent time with, and they've done my heart good. And I have to say, actually, the reverse is true as well. There are some people I've spent time with, and I haven't found my heart being refreshed. My prayer is that we would all, and I would be, someone who refreshes others' hearts, and that we'd think about the company that we're keeping. Not because we're not called to reach out and bring life to others. We absolutely are, and so we're called to engage with others. But we need to get the balance right. We need to think about who are the people that refresh our hearts, that keep our hearts alive and in that right place. Choose to encourage one another daily. Secondly, choose to be honest and real. The writer to the Hebrews talks about the deceitfulness of sin. There's a deceitfulness. It's easy, if we're not careful, to get deceived. David said this in Psalm 32. He talked about how the Lord's hand weighed heavy upon him. There was no sense of life and lightness. And he said, "Oh, everything was heavy." And he said this, Psalm 32, verse 5. "But then I acknowledged my sin to you, and I didn't cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions, and you forgave the guilt of my sin." The whole tone and feel of the psalm just changes like that in an instant. When? At what moment? When I confessed my sin. When I got real with you, Lord. When I didn't try and pretend, I didn't try and hide. For David, in the particular instance after Bathsheba, it was when Nathan faced him up with it. "You're the man." And suddenly it's like, whoa. I've got to get real here. I've been pretending. And it is possible for us to pretend. It's possible for us to be just go through the motions. And stuff, damaging stuff's going on in our heart, but we're not facing it and we're not dealing with it. Don't cover it up. Stop pretending. We need to be ruthless with sin because it is deceitful. There's no one here that is safe from being deceived. Yet the privilege we have is that the Holy Spirit can, as we invite him to, if we invite him to examine our hearts, he will do that. And in a little bit, we're going to be breaking bread. And one of the things we're called to do when we break bread is to freshly come and in the light of the cross, in the light of the amazing sacrifice of Jesus, to examine ourselves afresh. Examine our hearts. Invite the Holy Spirit to search us. See if there's anything in us that he wants to change. So choose to be honest and real. Thirdly, choose faith, not unbelief or cynicism. Talks about none of you, see to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. It's possible for our hearts to begin to take on unbelief and for us to become cynical. Andrew Womack says this. He says, "Hardness of heart is relating more easily to the natural realm than the supernatural realm." Hardness of heart is relating more easily to the natural realm than the supernatural realm. And his heart for us is that we would be like Peter sitting in the boat, ready to walk on water. Not just to say, I want you, Jesus, but I want to stay in the comfort of my boat. But to be ready to say, "Is it you, Lord? Tell me to come." And that readiness to respond, that readiness to listen, that readiness to get out of the boat, to not live in just the natural, but to step into the supernatural. Many of us were at Transform this summer, had a great time, and some of you will have heard testimonies coming back from Transform. If there's one thing, I think, as I've talked with people, If there's one thing that people have held on to and that they said, this is what impacted me probably more than anything else. And obviously there's lots of stuff. But there's something that's been a recurring theme that a few people have said. And it was none of the sort of very charismatic, dynamic personality speakers. The thing that most people have said to me, or I've heard more than anything else, I think, was said, on that Sunday morning, when that guy who just said he's only into spreadsheets, his name's Paul Rain, and I've known him in the past, and he has, he's served very faithfully with spreadsheets, but he was always someone who thought, I could never do anything, I could never tell someone about Jesus, I could never reach out. And yet, 18 months ago or so, he gave himself to going on a course. He encountered the love of Jesus in a whole fresh way. His heart got turned upside down. He thought, ah, oh, he can use me. And now he goes all over the place in Basingstoke with young people. He's the most un-youth type guy you could possibly imagine. And yet he shares the love of Jesus. He shares prophetic words. He's listening to what Holy Spirit's saying. His whole life has stepped into a whole new realm because something in his heart has been unlocked. He's opened up and go, you can use even me. And many of you sitting here today who are at Transform, you'll remember that. You go, yeah, because I've heard you talk about it. And I love the fact that his heart was ready to get over the stuff. He says, all that, not just, no, that's not for me. I just do this in the safe confines of my office. He goes, no, I'm ready to get out of the safe confines of my office. I'm ready to respond to you, Jesus. And two final things, just very quickly. Choose to forgive. Why do I say that? Because I know this is such a big issue for our hearts. In fact, just in terms of spending time with people and time in churches, it's the thing I would have observed has been the biggest thing that affects people's heart. It's unforgiveness. It's actually not dealing with offense. Ephesians 4, verse 26, 27 says, do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. You want to give the devil a foothold in your heart, then carry offense. And the thing about offense is, you probably really have been offended. It's probably very genuine. It probably was very hurtful. And there's no one here, who hasn't and won't experience some of that. That's the truth. But our responsibility is not to let that damage our hearts, but to guard our hearts. And we have this amazing privilege that Jesus has shown us that if we forgive, then we can be forgiven. But if we don't forgive, then we allow a root of bitterness to grow up. And the writer to the Hebrews says that a root of bitterness defiles many. It can defile much in your heart. Actually, it can defile the heart of a church. Where there's offense, where there's unforgiveness, where there's unresolved stuff, it can be so damaging. And the final thing is choose to remember Jesus. And I say that as we come back in a minute to breaking bread together. Again, the writer to the Hebrews in Hebrews 12 verse 3 says, consider him, that's Jesus, who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. There are some times when everyone else around you will not be enough for you. Jesus is the only one that can be our ultimate inspiration. And it's him we need to consider. And sometimes life is incredibly hard and there's all sorts of disappointments and you can feel incredibly weary and there's a real temptation to lose heart. And the only one that will really be able to inspire you through the deepest challenges is Jesus himself, who endured the cross. And he's our focus. This year, he's got all sorts of awesome, amazing plans for each and every person in this room. He's wanting his life to be shared through us, touching many, many people. But there's a real danger that there's stuff in our hearts that become blocked up, that become dead and not right, and therefore the wellspring of life stops flowing. How's your wellspring of life? Again, in the verses we read in Hebrews 3, just before, the writer to the Hebrews says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Ezekiel prophesied that in the age of the new covenant, what would the Lord do? He'd take our hearts of stone and make them into hearts of flesh. And there is a way today, whatever's gone on in our hearts, however damaged and hurt, there's a way that our hearts can be healed and renewed and restored, that hearts of stone can become hearts of flesh. And through the cross, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, each and every heart that's represented here can be healed. Every hard heart can become a soft heart through the cross and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it involves genuine repentance, acknowledging that sin, confessing it, dealing with stuff. But he meets us where we're at, and he wants to heal us. And he wants our hearts to be soft and tender and alive to him. I'm going to ask the musicians to come back up. And we're going to take the last part of the service to worship and to remember Jesus together, to consider him. And I encourage you in the worship and as you break bread to look Jesus right in the face afresh, to come before the cross, to recognize what he's done, to bring your heart to him, to invite him to examine our hearts afresh. And I really mean this. This is not a game. I don't know how many people the Lord is going to bring us into contact with over these next 12 months that we have got the opportunity to share the love and life of Jesus with. People that we can be wellsprings of life for. But for that to happen, let's make sure our hearts are guarded, taken care of, and are in the right place. Let it be, Lord. Amen.